A lot of things going on. It continues to be one of those years where there's always something going on. And I know Pastor said on Wednesday, somebody prayed for Hannah Shantz, one of our high school kids that is also afflicted with cancer. So just keep praying for her also in your prayers. So let's open a prayer today and then we'll sing some songs, everybody, and start worshiping. Father God, we come to you again. It just seems like every time we try and move forward, there's something heavy that hits us, Lord. And don't let us forget that you will make a way. There's always a way through you, God. And we've got to just put our trust and faith in you now more than ever. Every time we get hit, help us to keep taking a step forward in Jesus' name. And his name is going to conquer it all because you've already won that victory. And just help remind us of that, Lord, that you have won that victory for us. And not to get down and depressed and have all kinds of worry, but to know that, Jesus, you are our true champion, Lord, just to bring us up and edify us. Even in the darkest of days, we know that we have a champion fighting for us in our corner, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray in your precious blood, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Who's excited to be house in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I want to read from Psalms 46 this morning. The God is our fortress as a reminder in these hard times. I mean, like Pastor Brian said, it seems like every time we look up, something's coming down on us. But this is where the scriptures are, where we found our strength. The scriptures are where we find our hope. The scriptures are where we find our joy. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He who has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. We have quite a few celebrations this week. I kind of feel left out that my birthday is not this week. But we got Larry and Marlis's anniversary today. So happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
And Clarence and Rosella's is on the 25th. Then we have Miss Janice's birthday on the 27th. Wig's birthday on the 27th as well. Pastor Brian's on the 29th. And Miss Carol's on the 30th.
Not you. Oh, not Carol.
Wrong Carol. I don't care. Oh. Gotcha. I didn't know that either. Prayer and worship tonight at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Come when you want and leave when you want, but it's going to be an awesome time of just prayer and worship before the Lord. And thank you to everyone who attended Unite to Ignite Couples Ministry Kickoff. Brian and Sean did an amazing job, and we are so proud of them. Plan on attending the next session and invite a couple to come with you, and you might win an awesome door prize. You might get some nice chairs. If I didn't have them at my house, and we're not giving them back. Wednesday night, Bible studies, dinner for kids at 6:30. Adult classes start at 6:45, and kids' classes start at 7 p.m. Pastor Justin and Jessica will be gone the next two Sundays, so please reach out if you need anything, and we will be here during the week for both weeks. And then this Thursday, October 5th, we'll be starting a Bible study on the well-watered woman. You can order a book on Amazon or let us know and we can order it. One for you, please see Jessica or Miss Steph if you have any questions. And please continue to keep Miss Norma in your prayers. And remember, if you need her address or her phone number, please see Pastor Justin.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence that's here today. Father, you know each and every need. God, you know the weights of each and every heart. Father, you know the struggles of every mind, God, the battles of every spirit. And Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, that you today would meet each and every one of us where we are. God, that we would be drawn into your presence, that we would be drawn to a God that loves us, that is for us. God, that knew not only everything that was going to happen, but everything that is happening and everything that will happen. Father, may your spirit move freely in this service today. God, I ask that you will give me the strength to preach this message. God, one that my spirit knows is true, but that my flesh just doesn't feel. But God, I know that your word is true. I know that your word never fails. I know that you have promised to always be with us, to never forsake us. God, I know that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, that your arm is not short. God, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. May you be magnified and exalted today with every word, in every heart, in every mind. And God, I'm not asking for just a normal Sunday service. I'm not asking for chaos and wildfire, but God, I'm asking for the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us today. God, whether you come quietly and gently, and whether we spend time just gently weeping at your feet, God, maybe you come in like a mighty rushing wind and we can't stand up. We're not here to dictate how you can move, but God, we need you to move. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful. And God, we rely on that faithfulness today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a children's church if anybody wants to go with Jessica. You want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. We're just going to spend our time in there. But Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22. And I don't do this often, but I feel like today we really need to be in reverence to the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to stand while I read this section of Scripture. Genesis 32, beginning in verse 22. The Word of God says, "And he arose that night," it's talking about Jacob, "and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank." You may be seated. I've asked the Lord to be gracious to me. And I said this on Wednesday night, that I know that Scripture is true, but I'm just struggling with knowing it in my head versus knowing it in my heart. And so bear with me as we go through this. I want to tell you that no matter how I present this sermon, whether it's with screaming and shouting, whether it seems like I'm cold and distant, it's not me that's going to cause God to move. It's God's Word. And no matter how it's presented, God's Word is true. Amen? And so we're going to just walk very, very slowly through this passage. And I had a different sermon in mind, and I was in my office on Thursday and was trying to work on that one, and actually got that one done. And the word wrestle just kept coming over and over to my mind. And so this sermon is titled Wrestle, and it can be taken a lot of different ways. The truth of what happened when Jacob wrestled this man, and notice that the man has a capital M. There's those truths. There's also the truths of this church and the wrestle that this church is in. And there's no way to deny that we are in a wrestling match. There's the personal wrestlings that are going on and those things. So no matter where you sit today, you can take something from this sermon that is of value and allow the Lord to use it in your life. But I want to read verses 22, 23, and 24 again, and then we'll just break it down. 22 says, "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day." There's a couple things that I want us to gather here. The first is that this is the first time that I know of that in reading Jacob's story that he's alone. He's alone. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have his family. He doesn't have his mom. He doesn't have his father. He's not warm with his brother. He's not working for Laban. He's not surrounded by a bunch of people. He is alone. And the thing is that he had to get rid of everything that was around him in order to be alone. It doesn't say that God took it from him, but he gave it and sent it across ahead of him, and he came back over the brook and was alone. And so however this works out, this story of Jacob, it's a much bigger story than what we have time to get into today, but Jacob is somebody that we know is both a usurper and is being usurped. He cheated Esau out of his birthright, but Laban cheated him out of his wife. And so what goes around comes around in that sense, and it's like Jacob is a man that was not at peace with very many people in his life. But at this point in time, he's not a man that's at peace with God either. And so as he crosses back over this brook and he's left completely alone, notice that it says it was during the night. So not only is Jacob alone, he's in the dark. And it doesn't say if he had a bunch of lights. I don't know. I know he didn't turn on the floodlight. I know that he was absolutely alone. And you would think that if God is trying to get a hold of Jacob, God's trying to teach Jacob something, that if God's trying to draw him close to himself, that he would show up in this brilliant light, this soft light that starts soft and gets big, that this angel of God would appear with the heavenly host, and that there would be this overpowering but gentle revelation of God to Jacob of saying, you know, this is me and I want to bless you. And that didn't happen. What happened is that when Jacob was alone and when Jacob was in the dark, a man came against him. Now, I know that we have Sunday school versions of scripture that we have embedded into us from the time that we're little. This is not a Sunday school story. This is a man, Jacob, that wrestled all night. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a wrestling match, it doesn't take very many minutes to be just dog dead tired. You struggle. It's hard. And so what's happening is that the strength of Jacob's flesh is being tested. His physical strength is being tested. And as he comes up against this man is no ordinary man. This man, Jacob could have never prevailed against this man no matter what. No matter how hard he fought, no matter what he did, he was never going to prevail against this man. There is no way he could have won. But Jacob, even in this situation where he's all alone, where it's dark out, I doubt that Jacob is wrestling and holding a torch at the same time. I think he's wrestling with God in the dark. So are we. These are the darkest times of my life. I told Jessica the other day, and I'm just being honest, that when I was not saved and suicide was an option, I considered it. Now that I am saved and it's not, I'm lower now than I was then. I am wrestling with God in the dark. I am physically wrestling. I'm spiritually wrestling. I am mentally wrestling. I am emotionally wrestling. Not just for me, for the church, for everything. Pastor Brian said today, it's like we take a step forward and it's just like something else happens. What else is going to happen? So I want you to understand that whether you feel like you're wrestling or not, you need to be wrestling. Because if you belong to this church and this church is wrestling God, you're in this fight. There is no easy way out. There's no turning around going back. There's no, I don't want to fight. God never showed up and said to Jacob, you want to have a wrestling match? I'm game if you're game. He showed up, and in my mind, he shows up and he comes straight at Jacob, and all Jacob can do is grab those hands and try and not be overcome. Doesn't say that there's a bunch of pleasantries. Doesn't say that God introduces himself and lets Jacob know what's going to happen and just says, listen, you might be hurt when we wrestle, but it will be okay. There's none of that. Jacob, right here, right now, is about to face a brother that wants to kill him for all he knows, for what he did to him. He sends everything he has ahead of him. So everything that he owns, everything he loves is gone. It's him and God in a fight for Jacob's life. That's it. And I know that this doesn't square well with our theology that God is love and God is a gentleman. Can I be honest with you? God is not always a gentleman. He's not always a gentleman. God will do what God is going to do. And it's up to us to wrestle God when God is wrestling us, to wrestle the enemy when we're fighting the enemy, and to wrestle our flesh when we're fighting our flesh. It's not always the devil. It's not always our flesh. Sometimes it's God wrestling us. Verse 25, 26, we go further. It says, now when he, it's the Lord, saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Lord said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he, Jacob, said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so again, all of our cute little theology aside, we would think that God is testing Jacob, and that as Jacob holds his own ground, that God says, man, here's a man of worth. This man will fight. This man is not going to give up. This man is a man after my own heart. He's going to fight to the bitter end. He knows what he's fighting for. He's not a wimp. He's not a coward. He has courage. He has strength. That's not what God does. God doesn't stroke Jacob's ego. God does not tell Jacob how good he's doing. God does not reach down and say, attaboy. God reaches down, touches his hip, and knocks it out of socket. How many people here have ever had something go out of place? It's not awesome. There's a lot of pain involved in that. And so at a time when Jacob is alone, in the middle of the night, wrestling against something he cannot possibly ever overcome, it gets worse. I don't know about you, but if you've ever wrestled, you need both your legs. To have one go out means that you are unstable at your core. You can't fight the way that you used to fight. There's not only could Jacob not win before, he definitely can't win now. He is hurt, he is broken, he is lame, he is wounded, but he keeps fighting. Why? Because he's fought too hard and gone through too much to give up now. That whole night he spent wrestling with the God. The day's starting to dawn and the sun's coming up. And you know, God could have said, let me go. And Jacob could have said, okay, fine. Jacob, no, that's not him. He's not going to let go of God till he gets from God what he needs. Till he gets that blessing. In one of the darkest times of Jacob's life, when the Lord comes against him in the wrestling, he doesn't sit down in self-pity. And I'm speaking to myself on this one, not this part's for me. He doesn't give up. He doesn't talk about how bad everything is. He doesn't talk about how horrible things are. He doesn't call out for his family and his wife and his possessions and all his men that could defend him. He doesn't call out for them. He doesn't tell God, it's not fair because you're God and I'm a man and it's not fair. You're not treating me the way that you should. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't go and say after God touches his hip, that was an unfair move. That was a cheap shot. He doesn't say any of that. He holds on and refuses to let go until God blesses him. And so as we're in this wrestling match, as individually or collectively as a church, we got a couple options. We can let go. Or we can hold on. I know that if we let go right now, that blessing's not coming. But I know that if we hold on, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be, I would love to stand here with absolute assurance and say, listen, in one more week, the tides are going to turn, we're never going to go through anything again, God's going to fill this house with people, go overflowing. I'd love to say that. I don't know that. But I know this, we've come too far to go back. Right? The man sees the day coming and tells Jacob to let him go. And if Jacob was to let go at this point, all that would happen is that he would be lame and limp. He'd have a story to tell. He'd have proof that he had been hurt. That's it. But if he holds on a little bit longer, he'll still be limp and lame. He'll be limp and lame and blessed. And those two things are not the same. Verse 27 to 28. Says, so he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Even though Jacob wrestled and was made limp, he got something far greater than physical health. I'll get to this at the end, but I want you to remember something. I'm going to plug it right here, and then I'm going to come back to it. Scripture interprets Scripture, correct? So in Romans 8, when it says that all things work together for the good to those who are called, or who love God and are called according to his purpose, that's not just platitudes. That's not empty words from God to make us feel better. That's what God does. Jacob didn't have those scriptures. We do. And so we have the profound luxury of the grace of God to look at this story through the lens of all the entirety of Scripture. Jacob didn't have that. Jacob struggled with two different entities. He struggled with man and with God. When we struggle with men, sometimes there's no win, there's no blessing. It's a double whammy because you go through the toil of the struggle and the loss of never having a blessing and never having a win. Sometimes you struggle with men and it's just hurt, it's just pain, it's just loss. It's grief, it's not a best friend betrays you, a church member leaves with no reason. You go through these things and every one of them hurt and there's no win in that situation. The struggle seems futile, but as long as we're alive, we're going to struggle with men. I promise you, one way or another, it's going to be a struggle, whether it's a struggle spiritually between the those who are owned by Satan and their struggle to come against the kingdom of God, or whether it's just the struggle of us fighting ourselves in our flesh, of doing what God's called us to do. There's always going to be that struggle there. But struggling with God is different. When we struggle with God, when we wrestle with God, there's always a win. You don't ever wrestle with God and it be pointless. You always get a blessing from wrestling with God, but you always pay a price for that too. You know, I think a lot of what's wrong with modern Christianity is we want all the perks without paying any of the price. We want the wish, if you guys know what wish is, the wish version of everything. Because it's cheap, it's fast, it's a knockoff, but it somewhat does the job instead of the authentic, real thing. We don't want to pay the price for quality when we can pay for less quality and get it quicker and faster. We've got to pay the price. And the only way that we pay this price is to not give up, to not let go. Jacob was willing to pay the price of wrestling with man, and he was willing to pay the price of wrestling with God. Both cost him. But only wrestling with God blessed him. Verses 29 to 32. It says, then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, where I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Jacob asks the man his name, and this man refuses to give it. And it's a rhetorical question. It doesn't need said, because just a couple of verses later, Jacob says, I wrestled God and lived. I saw God face to face, and I lived. And so he knows it's God. He knows it's the Lord. And Jacob's left with the limp, and it's one significant enough that it will forever change his actions, how he walks, how he moves, what he looks like. People will know him, not necessarily by his name, but by his limp. And that's a pretty embarrassing thing to be known by that. But these actions of what God did for Jacob in touching his hip and putting him out of place and leaving it there, not healing it, they changed not just Jacob's life, they changed the life of a nation yet to come. And I think that that's profound, that if you think about it, some of the things that you go through that leave a scar or leave a wound or the things that cause pain that are never healed, you may not understand why God does that, but generations down the road will. I know that from a lot of the things that my parents suffered and went through, that I would never wish on them. I would never ask for them to go back to that. But I've been able to learn lessons in their lives and the pain that they've walked through that I didn't have to learn on my own. And so we have to remember that pain is not useless in the hands of God, no matter where it comes from. There's something that happened when Jacob wrestled God, and that's that his life was preserved and he was blessed. Church, honestly, God could have killed him. God could have rose up, just taken his life. God didn't owe him anything. He didn't. He wrestled with him. He did cause his hip to go out of place, but he spared his life. He wounded him, and it prepared him to receive that blessing. And that's something I've really struggled with recently is trying to wrap my head and my heart around the fact that some of the wounds that I'm going through are somehow making a way for a blessing. I don't understand it. I can't theologically sit up here and describe it to you, but I know that that's what's happening. It doesn't make sense because the pain is so raw right now that I can't step outside the pain I'm in to see it with different eyes, so I trust that God's going to do what God's going to do, whether I have a clear vision or not. Because let's face it, we don't always have a clear vision. If you've ever cried or had tears into your eyes, the first thing that happens is you can't see clearly. You still have the same eyes. You're still looking at the same thing, but something has come between you and that thing that's caused it to be blurry. When you wipe your eyes, it takes a little while for them to get back, but eventually, when you're done crying, you see it the same. That's just what is going on right here, right now. Jacob fought during the night, but when the dawn came, he could no longer stay where he was. So it's important to understand this, that Jacob crossed back over to be alone, leaving everything that he knew and everyone he loved and everything that could have brought him any sort of comfort or protection, and he goes to a place to be alone. It's at that place where God confronts him and wrestles him. The place that Jacob met God is not the place that Jacob stayed. And that's something that I think we really, really, really need to understand today, is that when you get to that place where you have wrestled God and that blessing comes, you don't make your camp there. Go back across. He didn't stay there. I think my natural inclination would be, if I had met God in a certain place to this extent where I physically, my hands physically closed on a physical hands, where I wrestled in a way with God that was so real that it was real, that I want to stay in that place. If God had blessed me, I'd want to stay in that place. He doesn't have that luxury or that option. The other thing is that the night didn't last forever. Even though this was not a normal night for Jacob, it was a normal night in the history of nights and days. To Jacob, it probably felt like an eternity. The Bible doesn't say it was a longer night than all the others, but I guarantee you, to him, it felt like it was. Jacob had heard about who God was. But Israel knew who God is. He met God in such a way that he was physically changed, that he was spiritually changed, and that God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. He's now no longer known as Jacob the usurper, but he's known as Israel. Promise. God knows exactly where we need to be and exactly what needs to happen. I mean, let's just be brutally honest. sometimes we ask God to move, and we ask God to help us, but we can't put our phones down for 2 seconds to allow him to help us. We can't turn the TV off to sit in silence. We can't say no to going out and being busybodies and doing everything because we know we need God's help, but we're afraid to be alone with God. If and I'm being as honest with you as I can be, there's no point in me not being. If God was standing on one side of that brook and I was on the other and he said, come over here and wrestle me, I don't know if I'd do it. I don't know if I'd have the strength or the courage to cross that brook and grab God by the hands and start wrestling. But if I'm alone and I'm in the dark and somebody comes after me and it's a fight for my life, I'm going to fight. Whether I have the strength, whether I'm a courageous man or not, I'm going to fight. And so God knows exactly what Jacob needed, and he knows exactly what you and I need. And so maybe you've never been to the place where you've wrestled God. Maybe you're hiding behind family or career or a spouse or a church or a religion or ministry or acts of service or things like that. And you do that because you can get close to God, but you don't have to actually step in the ring with God. And I'm telling you that if you look through history, every one of the people that did something amazing for God are people that stepped in the ring with God. They had a point in their life where they wrestled him one way or another and got to know him on a level that only comes from that way. You might be at a place where you're alone and it's in the darkness and you're feeling something coming against you and you don't know what it is. Grab those hands and wrestle. Fight. If you're in the middle of wrestling with God, I can't pray for you to have more strength, to have more courage, but I can tell you to not give up. I mean, let's put Jacob in the middle of Job's friends. Go with me. I don't think this is heretical. It's probably taking a lot of liberty, but if you could imagine that as Jacob enters into this wrestling match with God, that Job's friends come and sit around him, I can tell you exactly what they're going to be saying to him. Oh, you sinned so bad. You have absolutely sinned. God has come against you to kill you because you are a sinner. You are worthless. You can't please him. He knows what you did. He knows that you stole that birthright. He on and on and on, they'd say that. One would say, oh, look at you thinking you're so strong that you can wrestle God. What? Who do you think you are? That you're a man and you're going to wrestle with God and win. Another one would be saying, what's with you and your ego? Just let go. Humble yourself. Just let go. Job's friends came to console him and ended up speaking the exact opposite of what the situation was. They would do the same thing in this situation. And so the battle for each and every one of us is I don't know how else to say it than we got to stop. We got to pause. We got to say, God, what are we missing? Am I fighting this over here when you're standing over here and I need to be fighting with you over here? Am I focused on this over here while you're just standing waiting for me to engage you right here? Maybe we're not in a place where we can wrestle God because we don't want to give up the things we need to wrestle God. Maybe we're afraid of being alone. Maybe we're afraid of sitting that time. Every time that I've ever sat alone in desperation with God, my life has changed. Every time. I got called to start a foster home ministry. In the pitch black of my house at 2:30 in the morning after 3 days of seeking God as hard as I could. Coming over here, I can tell you that we prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted and prayed and sought God. Right now is unique to me because I don't have the strength that I normally have to run after God with everything I got. I got enough strength to fall down, try and grab his hands, and that's it. But every time I have ever stepped into the darkness alone with God, I have never come out the same. Ever. The wounds that you have, the things that have happened, the damage that has been done, we have a promise from God that one day that will all be fixed. You're not going to always hurt. You're not going to always cry. And you're not going to always be broken. The Lord will prevail, and he will have his purpose in your life prevail. You're not strong enough to thwart God's will, and neither is the enemy. God will have his way. But I don't want you to be afraid of the wounds or the scars. You're going to get wounded or scarred in this life no matter what. There's no way. C.S. Lewis said it best, and I am probably the pastor that has done the most damage to C.S. Lewis in his reputation because I butcher everything that I try and quote from him. But he said the only way to protect your heart from being hurt, the only way, is to take it and lock it in an airtight box that's pitch black. Nothing can get in, nothing can get out. Your heart will never take a wound, ever. It won't be scarred, it won't be pierced, but it will die. It will turn as hard as stone. And in that beautiful treasure box that you've hid your most prized possession, your heart, because you don't want it to be hurt, you'll end up killing it. It will suffocate, it will die, it will turn as hard as a rock. So would you rather have a wounded heart that still beats? If you want a hard heart, it can't beat. A lot of the wounds that we carry from walking with the Lord represent pain. But they also represent encounters with God that you can't get any other way. There's no way to get them. There's been so many things in the last 3 years that I would not have chosen to walk through. For you as a church, that I for you, those of you individually that have gone through pain and loss and suffering, I would have never asked that for you. If God would have said, what do you think? You think that they should go through this and there will be a blessing on the side of it, or this and there won't be? Depending on the suffering, I don't know what I would say to that. And that's my human side. But I know that even with all the brave faces we put on and all the smiles, and there's a lot of people in the last 3 years that have put smiles on that have not touched their eyes. You smile because it's expected. You smile because you don't want people to ask how you're doing. People ask how you're doing, and I've totally changed. I owe you an apology because I have facetiously said, a lot of times people ask if you're okay, and we just say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good. That's not always just something we say. Sometimes it's just how we survive. Because you don't want to tell that story one more time. Or because you don't want to tell somebody how you're really doing. And so, my heart hurts for this church and everything it's walked through. And is walking through and might walk through in the future. And so I'll say it personally first, and then I'll say it from a church perspective second, but I would rather walk through this life with a limp, not being as whole as I could physically, but have a blessing from God on top of it, than I would to walk through this life whole and miss out on the blessing of God. From a church perspective, I'd rather we walk with a limp in pain and having the blessings that come from God that way than us be the perfect, happy, we only need God because he blesses us and not because we actually need him, church. But at the same time, I'm sorry for everything that the church has gone through. This has been, it's been hard, not just for me. But I asked Pastor Logan to read Psalm 46 today. Because I'm going to open up these altars. And in church, I'm not somebody that thinks that the altars need to be open every Sunday. I've seen what happens when the altar can become a place where it's no longer treasured or revered, where it's a place to just cry a couple of tears and then get up and go home. And I don't want to ever have our altars turn into that, but I also don't want to ever have altars that aren't stained with tears, that aren't a place where we come and we wrestle with God. And so I am just being honest, I don't have the strength to pray over anybody today. But I don't know if today is a day where we need to be praying for over each other anyways. I think today is a day where we need to just get somewhere and wrestle with God. And this might be well outside your comfort zone, and I'm just going to ask, and then it's up to you to figure it out. But the whole church going through a whole host of problems needs to wrestle as a whole. And so this is not about your pride. It's not about what somebody might think or what somebody might say. It's not even about you or I at all. It's simply about God. There's a song that's going to play, and it's just Psalm 46. But in that song, there's a lyric, and it says, "O God who moves the mountains, come wrestle us and win." It would be different if it said, "O God who can't move the mountains, come wrestle us and win." But this God that moves mountains, the singers are asking him to come and wrestle us and win. And there's a point in that wrestling where God does win. He blesses Jacob, calls him Israel, and he lets go. Israel lets go. And so the point is not that you come down here and you just wrestle and you leave still wrestling with God. The point is that you come and you wrestle until God blesses you, and then you stop. But we started off this year, none of us knowing what was going to happen with Pastor Brian and Sean. And month after month, none of us have known what that month holds. I don't know what the rest of this month holds. I don't know what October holds. I don't know what November holds. But I know that I've got to be holding on to God. Either until that blessing comes. Well, until that blessing comes, there's no either. It's just until that blessing comes. And sometimes the blessing is not that God takes everything and makes it okay. Again, he didn't heal Jacob's hip. He left him with that reminder, that pain. The Bible doesn't say that muscle grew and it went back into place. It said that it shrunk and it stayed shrunk. So sometimes the blessing that God gives you in a weird way makes it a little bit more painful than what you're already in. But that blessing that came, if you will go to your Bibles and you will read the rest of Scripture, the rest of Genesis from here on out, you'll see how God orchestrated everything through that name change. There's nothing that we can say or do. The time for words is done. The time for platitudes and false humility and all that is done. It's time today just to wrestle with God. each and every person. And if you're in a place where you honestly feel like you don't need to wrestle God, wrestle Him for other people. Every one of us can wrestle for Miss Norma. Every one of us. Beverly's having surgery on Wednesday. We can wrestle for her. There's not one person. Shirley and Mel need people to wrestle with them. Don and Carol. I mean, I go through the list. And I could just name every person in here that's going through something. If we as a church will grab hold of God today and hold on, that's the only hope we have. And so as these altars open, I'm not in charge of what the Lord does. I'm not in charge of what you feel like God's calling you to do, but I'm really going to ask that at least for the first little bit. And if you need to leave, you're more than welcome to. Nobody will say anything. It's not a competition on who prays the longest or anything like that, but would each one of you individually find a place, whether it be where you are, whether it be up here, maybe it's in the fellowship hall, I don't know, and just wrestle with God. Enter into that encounter with Him. Don't be afraid. The God that fought Jacob is the God that blessed Jacob, the God that preserved his life. As you wrestle, remember this phrase, and you'll hear it in the song. O God who moves the mountains, come wrestle us and win.
We get ready to close in prayer. Reach out to someone. Let someone know if you have a prayer request. We got to stand together as a church. If there's someone, if you're going through something, let someone know. Get it on that prayer chain. Go on the app. Put it there. Call somebody and get that prayer out there so we can stand together and pray. The song talked about God is with us. Right? Don't forget, He is always with us no matter what. What did He do in Exodus, right, with Moses and the people? A cloud by day and a fire by night. He was with them. And sometimes we don't see that. We may not see it right now, but we got to believe He's with us. Get in this book right here and read and find some scripture that can encourage you, that can help edify you. Find a scripture and read it over and over and over. And confirm that God is with you and trust in Him, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the message and just clarifying what we need to do. We need to keep fighting together as a group, as a community, to trust in You, to let You know that You are with us, that You're going to wrestle and have that victory because You claimed it already. Let us believe and have faith, pray over each other. I bless each and every family, each and every person that's here or not here. Lord, let them know that You are God and be still and just listen for that voice that You have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.